Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, November 3rd, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 163, the second paragraph, which begins with, "We know of an AA member who was living in a large community," and ends with, "What did our friend have on the ball?" And again, that's page 163, paragraph 2. Today's readers are Julie E.B. for the 12 Steps, Robin B. for the 12 Traditions, Sherry M. will read our text, and Chanel T. will read page 164 for us. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for November 2nd is 20800, 20800. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting is 20802, 20802. BOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Julie E.B. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. One, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood God. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Julie E.B. And I will now ask Robin B. to please read the 12 Traditions of OA.
Thank you, moderator. This is Robin B. from Ohio, living in recovery one day at a time from compulsive overeating. The 12 Traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, if he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeaters who still suffer. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend OA names to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems with money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for letting me serve.
How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 163, paragraph 2, beginning with, "We know of an AA." And I will now ask Sherry M. to please begin our reading.
Okay, good morning. We know of an AA member who was living in a large community. He had lived there but a few weeks when he found that the place probably contained more alcoholics per square mile than any city in the country. This was only a few days ago at this writing, in 1939. The authorities were much concerned. He got in touch with a prominent psychiatrist who had undertaken certain responsibilities for the mental health of the community. The doctor proved to be able and exceedingly anxious to adopt any workable method of handling the situation. So he inquired, "What did our friend have on the ball?" Okay, guys, I'm Sherry, gratefully recovered in Wyoming, currently in California. First, I want to thank Elaine B. for taking the meeting, everyone who does service. And I also want to say I am somebody who always listens to both meetings, and I've been doing that since I found Vision and got recovered for the first time in 2019. So I really do encourage you to listen to the earlier 7 a.m. meeting because you'll get a great history lesson on this paragraph along with great East Coast shares. So highly recommend that. So I am not somebody who liked history in school, and this kind of paragraph would normally I would just kind of skim over. But what I've learned, and it's just a result of doing, you know, being on these calls every day for a few years now, I've learned how to find what I need out of the paragraph or just allow God to jump out words to me in the paragraph. So I was thinking of when I came into program, which was just about 20 years ago in February, I was living in a large community in Los Angeles, which is one of the largest communities for this program. So how lucky am I? There were meetings everywhere. And then what else jumped out at me was the responsibilities for, the mental health. And so when I think of compulsive overeating and what I've learned about my disease, I've learned that compulsive eating is a mental illness, right? It is the mental illness that keeps bringing me back to the very substance that's killing me is a form of mental illness. I've also learned that I have a spiritual malady, and I've learned that I have a physical disease here. And so by staying, by being in recovery and living this way of life, and the workable method for healing this kind of situation is the 12 steps, which helps me to have my mental health, which is restored to sanity, so that I can help my community. And so I'm just jumping to think about when I relocated to Wyoming, a little town, Jackson Hole, Wyoming, last June, and that there is zero Overeaters Anonymous there. And it has been on the back of my mind of how can I get, and it's, you know, the way it's laid out in a mountain town, it's not really like centrally located. So to go anywhere, like if I want to go just to like an AA meeting, which is the only meetings in town, it's a good 30-minute drive. And then you think about snow and all these other things. So how can I start something in the community? And is it something that, you know, are there compulsive overeaters around each corner? I don't know. Asking God every day in my morning meditation, help me to help this community if they need it. But what I can do is I can just continue to stay recovered, work these steps, and as a result, I am maybe the only big book that someone's going to experience will be coming through my actions and how I, you know, live my life to the fullest. And so, and I will wrap up with that. And I can't wait to hear you all unpack this. Thank you for letting me be of service. My path.
Thank you very much, Sherry M. Okay. Though we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your sharing to every third day so that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared, excuse me, in the last 3 days, then we would ask that you would press star one to unmute if you would like to comment on page 163, paragraph 2. We'd love to hear your insights.
Susan G. in California.
Susan G. Anyone else? Why don't you share with us, Susan, and I'm sure you'll inspire others.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. Susan G. recovered in Los Angeles, and I love that the meeting was started off by Sherry, who I've known for those 2 decades. And that is also because I live in Los Angeles, which is a very large community and where OA started. And I often say when I share, if you know me, you know, I moved here, I knew nothing about 12-step meetings. And I went to my first one in the 80s, which was horrified. I mean, honestly, Overeaters Anonymous, who wants to join that club? And wherever I went in Los Angeles, there was somebody who I met who was in a 12-step program. I mean, I can't speak to other big cities, New York, Chicago, but here it is the Mecca. And if you aren't in a 12-step program, you just aren't in the club. And I kept on meeting other people who were in 12-step rooms, a girl who I worked with who I would never have thought would have been an alcoholic, right? And all of a sudden, God is showing me, God's tapping me on the shoulder and saying, see Susan, you know, contempt prior to investigation. And God kept on pushing me until finally one day I was in the center of that herd. I never actually had doctors tell me to go to a 12-step program. And when I lost my weight, they were like, oh, well, what did you do? And then I was able to share with them. But if you are in the center of a city today that doesn't have many meetings, how fortunate are we to have a phone meeting 6 days a week, Zoom meetings day in and day out. So get in the center of the herd, pick up the phone, pick up this book. We are here to help you any time of the day. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Susan G. And again, if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, we would love to hear from you commenting on page 163, paragraph 2. Star one to unmute.
Hi, this is Cheryl from California.
Cheryl from California, okay.
Kara L. California.
Okay. Anybody else?
Tom L. from California.
Tom L. from California.
Jordan L. in Colorado.
Jordan L.
Nancy J., California.
Nancy J., we've got quite a lineup here from California. All right.
Okay. Liz A., California.
All right. Well represented. Awesome. We've got Cheryl from California. I'm sorry, I didn't catch the first initial of your last name. Kara L., Tom L., Jordan L., Nancy J., and Liz A. Anybody else want to get in this lineup while we're taking names, or we'll just begin our shares? Okay, we're starting out with Cheryl, and I didn't catch the first initial of your last name, Cheryl. Please share with us.
Thank you for your service. This is Cheryl A.D. from California, and I really appreciate hearing this paragraph this morning. So grateful to be in Overeaters Anonymous and to have found a spiritual solution for not being able to manage my life. I just wanted to share that I happen to be part of my region too. In California, it's quite large. It's all of Mexico, California. Can't remember all of the different areas, but some of a few other states, I think. Anyway, what I wanted to share is that at our most recent assembly, it was brought to our attention that there's a line item in our region budget to help assist in opening new face-to-face meetings. Our region can possibly help groups open a new face-to-face meeting by helping provide them with $300 for literature or other supplies that they might need. And I just thought I would mention that on this meeting this morning because it really relates to this topic of carrying the message. And I happened to have my intergroup meeting last night, and we have a few face-to-face meetings, but there are some cities where we could really use some more, and they were excited to hear about that. And if you are interested in really feeling part of, service is such an amazing way to bring that into your life, and I can say it's really helped my recovery. And so that's what I wanted to share. And I, you know, if it helps someone, great. There are resources to help us open meetings, and your region may possibly have that as well. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Cheryl A.D. Okay, Kara L., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Tom L. Please share with us, Kara.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovery compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. You know, and community, fellowship, you know, it's not my answer, but it's certainly a way that gets me in the door and keeps me in the door. And finding that, you know, I still think back to the first meeting I walked into and remembering I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't really know what 12-step was about. They were using terms I didn't understand. But there was identity in the room. There was something I was like, I need to stay here. You know, for the years that it took me to have a spiritual awakening, the only thing I did 100% and completely a full out was I never left the rooms. Just never left. And the only reason I knew to do that is because I saw examples in front of me that said, you know, it took me this long. Don't leave. It will happen for you. And on blind faith, that's what I did until I had a huge spiritual awakening, right? Until I worked these steps in such a way, or I became teachable in such a way that today I know that a higher power is my answer. You know, I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for the, you know, if you don't think you're giving service, but you're showing up at a meeting, you're giving service. You know, for the people in the rooms who share, for everybody that gives service to keep our meetings running. For those of you that are sitting on the line today too afraid to share, I was really, my heart would pound every time I put, you know, star one and started to speak, my heart would pound. And I always thought, what I say is not going to be good enough. And today I know that whatever I say is what I say. And if somebody, you know, identifies, I'm so pleased. And if not, that's okay too. So I encourage everybody, please, star one. We want to hear your voices. And you don't know who you're speaking to. And I needed that when I first came into the room. I needed to hear all the voices. So thanks, and I'm looking forward to hearing from everybody. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Kara L. Tom L., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Jordan L. Thank you, Tom.
Hello, this is Tom L. Great to hear everyone on the meeting this morning. Some of you I've met in person. Many of you I know just by your voice. I got here a little late, embarrassed to say that, but 163, paragraph 3, there's a phrase in there, and I hope this is the right phrase because I didn't hear it read. The stream of misery that passes through that institution. If I got the wrong passage, well, that's what I'm going with. Stream of misery. I was a chunk of misery for many, many years, and I was almost alone. So you might say I was completely isolated. That's how my disease manifests itself. There are some, you know, social overeaters out there. I am not one of them. Also, I'm not a functional one. I usually have to find some. I can't work when I'm overeating. I have to eat too much. I have to sleep too much, dream. It's a whole lifestyle that does. It's not. I can't work. So, and I thought by being on disability, I would find peace because at least, you know, no one would care about if I showed up. No one cared how fat I was because they couldn't see me, and I could just enjoy myself. That plunged me into such misery, specifically a 3-year period in the late 90s. I had no idea there was such suffering. You get everything you want, at least as an addict, and you suffer absolutely miserably. So I was a chunk of misery. And for reasons I can't explain, it wasn't because of me. I was introduced. I wasn't in Los Angeles. I was in New Jersey. I was far from Los Angeles. But a series of incidents brought me to the Los Angeles area. There's something about this place. It draws people like me against my will or without my will. And I was introduced to this program. We of course, back then in the late 90s, we didn't have the kind of Zoom meetings we have now or phone meetings. But now we do. The whole world is connected. And my people are those isolated hermits. That is my calling. And it's very hard to get in touch with us because we're mostly on the internet. You can't see us. We're not in the rooms. We're eating and we're on the internet. But we are on the internet too. Recovery is booming on the internet. And I have come across people like that. And it makes me, it gives my life purpose because what else could someone like me do except help people like me? I've been fitted for a new purpose and life is good. I don't know if I'm recovered, but I'm doing extremely well for someone like me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Tom L. Okay, we have Jordan L. up next, followed by Nancy J. Please share with us, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Elaine. Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. I don't live in a large community. I live in a tiny little town in rural Colorado, and we are completely surrounded by public lands on all sides. So it takes a long time to get here. It's out in the middle of nowhere. There may be just as many cows in the county as people. Who knows? but I still relate to this very much so. We just started a little face-to-face meeting in Gunnison, and we have some people come in from Crested Butte, and it's thriving. it's just, it's like, it's blowing my mind how this little meeting is doing, you know? And it's funny, I tried to start a meeting when I first got here back in 2019, and it didn't work. No one ever showed up. And there were probably some things that I could have done as far as getting the word out better, but I was busy and with work and stuff, and I didn't. And this time around, like, someone actually, it wasn't even my idea this time around. Someone asked me to participate, and I just was like, okay, I'll be a willing participant and see how this goes. And it really is a source of power much greater than myself that's been tapped and is working here. It's like bringing these folks together. And I just keep like harping away on abstinence. We got to get abstinent, guys. We need to be abstinent. Get abstinent before you work through the steps. That's the key to recovery in here. and it's working out. And I will say too, like, I noticed this paragraph was written in 1939, and in the context of history, my guess would be alcoholism was probably taken off in 1939. Those were some of the worst years of the Great Depression. People couldn't find jobs, and I bet there were a lot of people turning to drink. And it's funny because, like, that's kind of what's happening today. The pandemic, man, people, they really turned to food during the pandemic. and so we got a lot of newcomers. We got a lot of people coming in. And I'm just grateful to be a willing participant in all of this. So gentlemen, thanks for letting me share. That's what I got. Yeah.
Thanks so much, Jordan L. Okay, we've got Nancy J. up next, followed by Liz A. Please share with us, Nancy.
Thank you. Good morning, Nancy J. in California. Super grateful to be recovered for today, out walking my dog in this brisk, chilly air right now, my little greyhound, Mary. I just wanted to just say hi. Everybody from California was coming out, so I thought I would do the same. In regards to myself and service and participation, and et cetera, I know what, I've kind of been a bystander my whole life. You know, yeah, I'll join things, but I'm not going to start anything. And yeah, I'll go if it's convenient, but. That's all changed. I've been in program about 13 years, and I, you know, just most recently out of a 2-year relapse, and about 11 months ago. And I can't stand back anymore. I got to stand up. And, you know, just going to a meeting is a way to do service, right? I have gone to meetings. This is before COVID. We had a lot. I'm in Orange County, which is right near Los Angeles. And we had a lot of face-to-face, and I would go to a meeting, and there would be nobody there. And I would stay, and I would sit down, and I would pick up the book, and someone else, sure enough, a newcomer would show up. You know, so, and just, I have a Sunday face-to-face, and I'm a literature person, and that literature gets me there no matter what, because if I don't come with that literature, those people that are new to the meeting aren't going to have a book to read the tradition or whatever, you know. So that's something new for me, is I got to, in taking care of myself, I got to take care of others. And I think it's a really important part of my program today, and staying in close contact with my higher power, my spiritual growth, and I'm so grateful. I just had my 13th birthday, Halloween, and this Halloween was amazing. Sugar was, you know, nothing. Sugar's nothing right now, other than it's fire for me not to touch it. But yeah, I'm so grateful because this woman cannot stop. I cannot stop eating. I cannot stop sugar. Only by God's grace. And someone said on this meeting, it's not desire. Thank you. It's God's grace that we, you know, can become abstinent. So anyway, thank you so much. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy J. Liz A., you are up next, and then we'll take another lineup. We're on page 163, paragraph 2. We know of an AA and ends with, what did our friend have on the ball? Please share with us, Liz A.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. My name is Liz A. from Los Angeles, recovered. Gosh, in 1984, I moved to Los Angeles from another big city. And I moved here with two addictions going. One was a man, the other one was a substance. And I was seeing a therapist at the time. And when I hit bottom in 1987, that therapist took me to my first 12-step meeting. She actually came with me. I will never forget her. And I was so ashamed that not only was I addicted to alcohol, that I had this food thing that I was throwing up. And that was my biggest, darkest secret. I met a girl at that first meeting, and who is now my best friend 36 years later, sober. And I was having lunch with her in very early sobriety, and I said, I just blurted out a fifth step. I said, I throw up. And she said to me nonchalantly, oh, lots of girls in program do that. Let's go to an OA meeting. I said, a what meeting? She said, OA. It's Overeaters Anonymous. They call it HOW. And she took me to my first meeting, and I got abstinent and stayed abstinent for 5 years. It was a complete miracle that I could stop throwing up. Complete miracle. What ended up happening is after those 5 years, somehow I was able to control and enjoy my eating for many, many years. When the pandemic hit, my disease had progressed, unbeknownst to me, to the point where I crossed that invisible line and I could no longer control and enjoy my eating. And I knew, because I had been to meetings and continued to go to 12-step meetings for 36 years, that there was a solution. And thank God I came to OA, and thank God I found Vision, you know, because I couldn't get abstinent. And I got abstinent when I started coming to the Vision meetings every morning, reading one paragraph at a time of this new Bible for me. And I'm just so grateful that you all are here for us, for all of us. You know, it really does. Thank you. It really does take a village. And with that, I will pass. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you so much. All these California gals and guys, that's where I was born too. Although we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on page 163, paragraph 2, star 1 to unmute. Give me your name.
I heard Lori R.
I believe. Was that Lori R? Marie R.
Deb.
I heard
Roz
G. And Deb, was it? Deb E.
Yes.
Let me tell you what I got. Laura W. I hope I can read my own writing. Kathy W. or Kathleen W. Yeah, Kathy or Kathleen, I'm not sure which it is. Maria R. or Marie R., Roz G., and Deb E., and I'm sure that's going to take us to the end of the meeting. So if you are not Laura W., please press star 1 to mute your phone. And Laura W., please share with us. You'll be followed by Kathleen W.
Thanks, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. And yeah, I listened to the more earlier meeting also, and I got a nice little history lesson on this paragraph by one of our members. And, you know, they talked about that large community. That was in Montclair, New Jersey. And it's funny because Montclair, New Jersey is not a large city, a large town. It's a very nice, beautiful, upscale town in northern New Jersey. And you know, I'm listening to all the shares today about, you know, how at that time that place probably contained more alcoholics per square mile than any city in the country. And I'm not really sure why that was the case. But, you know, now I find that the pandemic was a horrible thing, but some of the benefits that came out of it and some of the blessings for me that came out of it was that my community here in New Jersey, my face-to-face meetings have always been pretty strong and there's a lot of them, but seeing the same people and hearing the same topics, you know, week after week, you know, I need variety. Like, I need to hear other voices and I need to hear other stories and I need to hear where this disease, you know, I need to see where this disease can take me and I need to see, you know, where I can help others. And through the pandemic, I've been able to get on Zoom meetings and become, have contacts, have God squads with people from the West Coast and overseas and every state in between. And to know that, you know, I'm not in this little community. This is a worldwide organization that is strong and thriving. And yes, you know, there's not a lot of people who live a permanent recovered life, but it can be done. And, you know, I surround myself with men and women who carry the message and remind me that that's my duty. That's my job. And it's my job because it's a privilege to do so. And it's my job because in carrying the message, I ensure that I stay recovered today, you know, and maybe that's selfish, but I don't want to go back. You know, I really don't want to go back. I was talking with my daughter the other day and I said, you know, if I knew I was, because she said something about, you know, oh, would you eat this if you knew you were going to die tomorrow? And I laughed and I said, I don't think so. Like, I really don't think so. I don't have any desire to. And I'd rather die peacefully knowing that, you know, I'm connected to my higher power than to be like, oh man, I shouldn't have eaten that. Or, oh, I shouldn't have restricted. I should have had my meal. And so yeah, I'm grateful for that because years ago when I first came in, I never would have said that. I would have been like, oh yeah, I'd do whatever I wanted to do if I knew I was going to die tomorrow. But, you know, and I try to live like I am going to die tomorrow, meaning that you try to stay connected to my higher power and try to, you know, do the right thing one moment at a time.
Just
so,
a reminder.
Thanks so much, Elaine. Have a great day, everybody. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Laura W. Okay, Kathleen W., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Marie R.
Hi, this is Kathleen W. from Illinois. And I just want to claim my seat today to be a part of. I'm doing some service on this meeting, and it brings me such great joy. I'm so surprised because I was so afraid of doing service on this meeting. But what makes me so happy is I feel connected when I'm doing service, and I don't feel connected when I'm not doing service. So I'm just so grateful for the opportunity. I like to have the reminder today that my disease is a mental health problem. Yes, it is a spiritual problem as well, but it's also a mental health problem because sometimes in recovery, you know, it, in my mind, it gets a little bit minimized, and I love to come to these meetings and be reminded about, you know, the nature of my disease, and it helps me stay on track and on the path that of growing along spiritual lines and being right-sized and knowing that my life is unmanageable without this power greater than myself running the show, and I'm not that power. So thank you so much for the reminder. I continue to carry the message despite my doubts and insecurities. Sometimes I think I'm not worthy, or I'm not good enough, or I'm not eloquent enough, or I'm not going to have the wisdom. But you know, I go past that stuff, just trusting God. It's not about me. I've got to remember, it's not about me, God. It's how I can be useful with whatever little bit I have to give. If I just have a little bit, and I give that little bit becomes more. And I believe that. I believe that is a law of the universe. So I'm very grateful today, and thank you so much for all your shares. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Kathleen W. Okay, Marie R., you're up next, followed by Roz G.
Hi, everybody. I'm Marie R. from New York. Wow. Yeah, I can definitely relate to the person that just shared before me about this is a mental health, you know, challenge for me. I'm back counting days and, you know, having a lot of brain fog and, there's been three meetings this morning and, you know, as desperate as I am, I don't understand why I just wasn't able to just sit and just listen to one in its entirety. But I'm just, you know, I thought I was abstinent and, you know, I was drinking, you know, Crystal Light and diet soda all day, you know, and it came upon me that I needed to put that down and that maybe I would do better without it. And I did put it down. And then the cravings for sweets, you know, and this withdrawal came upon me, which I was totally not expecting, you know, which caused, you know, another relapse. And, I've been suffering with a lot of anxiety on top of it. And then, you know, God put on my heart to get rid of the caffeine because it's almost the same as, you know, the food for me. Because every morning I wake up and I say it's going to be different, that I'm going to have this cup of coffee and it's not going to give me heart palpitations and give me anxiety all day long. It's going to be different today, you know, because I want it so bad. And, you know, I just couldn't take another day of that. So today I'm day one without the caffeine, you know, so I'm just grateful I have a place to come to share, you know, and numbers to call because, you know, and I just totally want to beat myself up about this whole thing, you know, but, you know, I'm, you know, God wants all of me maybe, you know, he doesn't want me with the Crystal Light and the caffeine and, you know, I was just substituting. It doesn't matter. I just need to get my brain clear. And I hope today I can have an abstinent day and not do it my way. You know, my mind tells me when it's time for me to eat that I'm going to do it my way. And I'm just so like baffled on how to get rid of that voice, you know, and I pray. But when I'm still in pain, I just think God's not there because I'm in pain. You know, and there's a lot of pain in this. And when there's pain, I'm just, well, God's not here, I guess, you know. But Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Marie R. Roz G., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Deb E.
Hi, my name is Roz G. I'm a compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And Palmdale is a suburb, a small suburb in the Antelope Valley. It is a part of Los Angeles County, and it is a rather small town. It takes an hour and a half drive down the hill to get to Los Angeles. And I lived in Los Angeles in Northridge. That's where I came from. And there's a lot of OA, a lot more OA meetings down there than there are here in my smaller town. You know, as I heard in a previous share, you know, I could be more a part of the meetings up here. But what I do is I complain about the meetings. I complain about the people and the shares instead of doing something about it. So there's some humility there. There's some admitting of, you know, what am I doing to make a part, to make it better? But in truth, I am doing things to make OA better. I do service above the meeting level. And recently, in fact, just last weekend, I attended virtually the Region 2 convention. I have never in my 20 years of OA attended a region convention. And it is just a business meeting for a weekend. And let me tell you, it's not fun. It is not fun. They try to do some fun things. They'll like reword things to like the song of the YMCA, and it's really funny. And, you know, and since I'm there, I was there virtually, I wasn't there to like, you know, rub shoulders with people. But I saw how extremely important it is to attend those meetings, because those people are making decisions that affect every single OA member. The donations that are given, the suggestions that are given, the wording in the literature, all of that comes from volunteers who are willing to be of service. It's important. And what does that have? It's based on a person that's living an abstinent life. So, you know, first I have to get my crap together. I have to be abstinent. And then I've got to carry the message by sponsoring and being sponsored and be of service in my meetings. And then take it on from there, because I'm giving back to what was given to me. When I sat in a meeting on Avenue J in Lancaster with three other people, crying about my Christmas presents and my weight and being the fat sister, I had no idea that 20 years later I'd be doing this other service. And neither do you. I'm not talking to any one person. And there's a newcomer on this meeting. Hey, you don't know what's happening. It's going to come in the future. And I'll just end up by saying that I really. Okay, I'll stop. As a reminder, I'll stop there. Thank you. Pass.
Okay, thank you so much. And Deb, I'm so sorry. We just have time for a 1 minute share, but please
one
go ahead and
will
share
do.
With us. Thank you.
I'm Deborah E. in Northwest Montana, away from everything. When I ended up here, and I say it that way because it wasn't my choice I ended up here originally, it was pandemic time and there were no meetings. And then I moved to a place where there were no live meetings at all within 100 miles, even after some of the live meetings had started. And when I moved here, my friend said, oh, you'll start a meeting where you are. And I said, no, I can't. I came up with excuses. And I'll say three things. One, when I read this paragraph, this paragraph would never have applied to me when I first came into recovery, because it wouldn't be about, oh, well, I need to serve. I need to do more. But in reading it today and hearing the shares, I've recently been thinking about starting a local meeting. And I had the excuses before, but now having listened to many of you who are also in these small places and have found ways to do it, and I will be calling you, it gives me hope, and it shows me, number one, I don't have to do it alone. I can reach out to others, and I can pray for the guidance to know what my God would want me to do to bring OA into this community, if that's viable. And so with that, I'm going to pass and say hurrah for this meeting that gave me a place to go when there were no meetings around me, and I will always be grateful for that. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Deb E., and everybody that shared. We will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Chanel T. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, Elaine, thank you. This is Chanel T., hoping I can be heard. And I am a grateful compulsive eater living in recovery by the grace of God today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. see to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy death. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.